Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, May 1st, first day of May, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 35, the first full paragraph beginning with what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic, ending with of what is he thinking. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning, and if all could please hit star one because I do hear some background noise, so thank you so much. Today's readers are Mary Frances W. reading the 12 steps, Diane M.C. reading the 12 traditions, Michelle C. will be reading the text, Debbie W. is reading page 164, and Chanel T. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeters, Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 30th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,419 or 23,419. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,422 or 23422. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania and a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. And I will now ask Diane M.C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane M.C., recovered compulsive overeater from Chicagoland. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry this message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Hi, Pat.
Oh, thank you so much, Diane MC. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. Page 35, that first full paragraph beginning with what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic, ending with of what is he thinking? We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Michelle AC to please begin reading. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Michelle AC, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. What sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic who repeats time after time the desperate experiment of the first drink? Friends who have reasoned with him after a spree which has brought him to the point of divorce or bankruptcy are mystified when he walks directly into a saloon. Why does he? Of what is he thinking? So part of the reason that I am very gratefully recovered is that it has brought my thinking into a more transparent state. It used to happen somewhere that I was either ignoring or not looking at. And therefore, the thought led to a feeling, which led to an action, which completely mystified me, exactly as this paragraph describes. And one of the things that my sponsor had me do in OA when we read the Big Book was to go through More About Alcoholism and cross out every single place it said drinking and replace it with thinking. Every time it said alcohol with thoughts, obsessive thoughts, compulsive thoughts, insane thoughts. And so my book is all crossed out. It's almost hard to read this paragraph out loud, because everything, drink is replaced with thought, thinking of what was he thinking, you know, all of these things are replaced with thinking. And at the time, I got it. Like, I got what she was having me do on a really surface level. But the longer that I've been working the steps and you know, doing 10 steps and looking at my 6 and 7 defects and working with sponsees, the more clear it's really become exactly what is going on here and that I have zero control over it. And the other thing that she told me, which I thought was really interesting, was that each thought could have either a flawed idea or a God idea. And I'll give a really good example because this just happened to me. My flawed ideas that lead me to walk directly into the saloon without the aid of a higher power and the steps and the OA are usually, you messed up, you did something wrong, you can't handle this, this is all your fault. So the other night, I needed to take care of a business thing that was time sensitive and related to money. A great combination for thinking for all of those thoughts to come up. In the middle of the night, I woke up completely freaked out. You did this, you've messed it up, this is never going to work, you know, it's all going to go to fill in the expletive and it's your fault. And I could not go back to sleep. So I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning just stressing out about this. So by the time it dawned on me to check my email, it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, right before vision. And I looked at my email and somebody's already taken care of it. While I was up in the middle of the night stressing out about something, it had been taken care of the night before. And so there you go. That's all I need to know about my thinking. You know, so the flawed thought was I'd done something wrong. The God thought would be, I know in my heart of hearts from observation of myself and other people that it works out. That God, if I let God solve the problem for me, it gets solved. And I know that eventually, but what I don't know is that in this moment, I'm on the path to that place. And it just dawned on me really strongly that if I know it's going to be okay later, the God thought would be, it's okay now. And it's okay now, and I am protected and cared for and you know, in relationship to my higher power. Those thoughts would not lead me, A, to have anxiety in the middle of the night, but also they wouldn't lead me into a saloon either. They would lead me into a deeper relationship with my higher power. So we're going to hear about Jim, and we're going to... thanks, Stephanie. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle AC. What a great way to get us started. Love it. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, so that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And also please keep your share to 3 minutes, which gives us as much time as possible for others to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Tom L., California.
Tom L. from California.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Ginger M. from New York.
Ginger M. is in Mary from New York?
Yeah.
Okay, Victoria great. S. from California.
Victoria, was that an S as in Serenity from California?
Yeah, Serenity, yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Portland, J, North Carolina.
I didn't hear who that was from North Carolina.
Courtney J.
Courtney J. Got you.
Oh, I had the speaker on. That's why.
Oh, that's okay. Got you, Courtney J. Anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup?
Kim P., Nevada.
That was Kim P. from Nevada.
Yep. Thank you.
Gotcha. Sure. Okay, let me tell you who I've got. Got Tom L., Joan Marie M., Ginger M., Victoria S., Courtney J., and Kim P. We're going to start with Tom L., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Tom. Oh, Tom, you got to hit.
Good morning. Yes.
There you are.
Star one. Good morning. My name is Tom. I'm a compulsive overeater from California. 100-pounder, compulsive liar. Interesting thing about this introduction to the vignettes, the most fun, one of the most fun parts about sponsoring is to recount my own history to show, you know, the absolute bonkers thinking that leads me from completely sane thinking to, you know, the twilight zone where I set off the bomb and I go into another multi-month, multi-year relapse, or all those times in my childhood where I learned how to react to the world and I just assumed it was correct. In the stories that are coming up, Jim with the whiskey and the milk, the famous Jaywalker, and Fred, the reason they're so interesting to me is that all this thinking is private to them. They have it in their heads, they're talking to themselves, and they end up in the saloon. The magic that I have found in 12-step programs and in Overeaters Anonymous is that my thinking no longer has to be secret or private. I can share it with other people. First with my sponsor, when I'm getting sober with food, which is painful, difficult, and scary, and he's like totally relaxed. Oh yeah, I remember that. You know, for him it was 5 years before he began talking to me, and now it's, I think he's getting near 10 years, and he is still telling on himself. One of my sponsor's favorite things is to get in front of a group of people and describe the craziness in his head. So that's my main point today, is that, you know, you don't know if I'm telling the truth. You know, maybe I'm eating my head off right now and I'm not really abstinent, but, and I don't know if my sponsees are telling me the truth. I have no lie detector. But I do know that when I tell the truth, something changes in my heart. And I reveal part of myself in order to help somebody. I heal. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Tom L. from California and downstairs. Next, we've got Joe Marie M., followed by Ginger M. Good morning, Joe Marie. Need to hit star one to unmute, please. Joan Marie M.
Well, I thought I was. There we go.
There you are.
Thank
friend.
You.
Go for it.
Okay, so what stood out to me was the first drink, the first bite. That's when the allergy of the body kicks in, and then I can't stop. No power. No human power could ever relieve me from the compulsion and the obsession. Then the last part is the last sentence of what is he thinking? And I wrote, forgetting I am not a person that can eat my alcoholic foods. I had such neutrality around food that I forgot. And people around me were eating, and the next thing I knew, I was that first bite. So I know without a doubt, I could never, ever eat my alcoholic foods again. And I lost that ability. I lost the power of choice. Once I take it in, and there was no thought about it beforehand. It was that forgetting. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joan Marie M. Oh, sorry?
No, I was just going to say, and I passed.
Oh. Sorry, I got too excited. Thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Next, we've got Ginger M., followed by Victoria S. Good morning, Ginger.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Thank you, everyone, for your service. Thank you, God, for this beautiful day. and for a new beginning today, and just gorgeous outside. Just getting so much from looking at God's creations of the blue sky and the green leaves. So it's such a beautiful feeling when God takes care of things. It's like such a relief. You know, I can lay back and, you know, not worrying about something. This week, I'm taking the injections, the weight loss injections. And my doctor had put me, I wasn't losing anymore, so he put me, told me to take it every 4 days. In general, I've been feeling pretty lousy. And every time I tell him this complaint or that complaint, he said, it's not possible that it's related. Only 1% of people, blah, blah, blah. And we're not getting along very well right now anyway. But so I'm thinking of tapering off of it, or at least down to just once a week. And I'm listening to my body and not taking it every 4 days, stretching it out. And you know what? So many of my aches and pains went away. It's unbelievable. All my joints and all my muscles were hurting me for so long, and he would just poo-poo it. And they don't hurt anymore. So it apparently was related to the increased dose or the dose in general. So I don't know if I'm going to stop taking them completely, because he's got me a little bit scared about what will happen if I do. But, you know, I'm going to try to do it with help from OA. And things have gotten a lot easier for me food-wise. I hope it's not from the injections, but that I've just either become less interested in foods or become accustomed to, you know, what I eat on a regular basis, a lot of protein. And, you know, social situations where there's food that I shouldn't be eating, it's not quite as easy, but I'm definitely limiting it. You know, even if I have a little bit of something, it's really a very little bit of it. I know that's not in keeping with this program, but that's where I am now. And I just have a lot of gratitude that physically my body feels so much better. And I see myself working with a sponsor down the line. You know, the time will be right and I'll know it. And meanwhile, I want to turn over all my problems to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my higher power. I will feel so much lighter that way. Thank you for letting me share.
Pass. Well, thank you so much, Ginger M. from New York. Keep coming back. Next, we've got Victoria S., followed by Courtney J. Good morning, Victoria. Victoria, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
Good morning. Thank you. Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Victoria S., calling from California. Thank you so much, everyone. The shares this week in particular have just been such depth and weight, so appreciated. Thank you for leading us off with your experience of crossing out drinking and putting thinking, because for me, this last 2 days, and today I have 60 days of abstinence, and I'm just flabbergasted and so grateful. And I've been on a thinking spree this week, and probably that I have an erroneous take on something, most likely. I'm 60 days with the food removed, just finished my first step. And of course, it stirs up this buildup of these human emotions. And so they've just been so larger than life. And of course, you know, this is the precursor to the peculiar mental twist for me, you know, the justification, the reviewing everything on that black and white thinking that occurs rather than, you know, nuance that, you know, comes with that psychic change. So I just am, my sponsor told me I get to share once a week on vision. Anyway, so this is my sponsor-directed share, and thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria S. from California. Thank you for sharing. Next, we've got Courtney J., followed by Kim P. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, all. Thanks for your service. Grateful for this meeting and the big book and written or taught more on our terms with the food allergy. It has brought the big book alive for me, the way Vision for You teaches this book. All right, Courtney here from North Carolina, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. Thinking, the first thing I think of is, well, here's what I did. I prayed this morning and said, please let my share be from my heart and not my head. But the word thinking comes to mind from an old sponsor who said, Courtney, thinking is not a tool. And I was one to follow all the tools very well. But then from that, I'm reminded of I already lost that thought, but so I get hijacked. My disease hijacks my thinking. And when I am hijacked by my disease, there's no going back. And that means I'm, you know, ready, heading for the store or whatever, for the binge. I've had an issue with, body or dysmorphia or just, you know, feeling skinny. And when I feel skinny, that gives me permission to go eat again. First of all, feeling is not an emotion. I mean, skinny is not an emotion. You can't feel skinny. So I learned that way long ago as well. But all that to say, my body image on the outside has made me think all the way through for 30 years that I'm okay because I look okay. But in those 30 years of lying about what I'm eating, not being able to stick with anything, consistently, I'm killing my soul, okay? So that's what all the lying has done that this disease takes me away with. My thinking today is more of in prayer. I pray to be an attitude, you know, prayerful attitude of gratitude. I pray for the next right and loving action. I'm reminded that, you know, the couple chapters coming up is not into thinking, it's into action. And the action in the very beginning for me was to just carry through with the requirements of my sponsor, you know. I'm almost a year in recovery now, which is unheard of. I have never gone this far with anything to do with this program because I wanted to eat what I wanted to eat and still be okay with it without consequences. You know, I wanted to be skinny and look good on the outside, and I was killing my heart on the inside, my soul, my God, my higher power. Let's see. Oh, we can't think our way into right action because we have a broken brain. Okay. How do I heal the broken brain? Well, I stay connected with you all. And with you all, I get more connected with a higher power. And with higher power, I start to feel love and grace and mercy and miracles. The fact that I can tell you I'm almost a year in recovery is a miracle, an absolute miracle. I do what recovered people do. I do esteemable acts. Again, all of this instead of thinking. And the only way I can get out of my brain, again, is to read this book, is to do outreach and hear what everybody else is thinking, and then we come together on that. Usually it's a very, is it odd or is it God, when we're thinking the same things. It's been delightful to get calls about that. Anyhow, let's see. You know, I say, you know, 95% of this disease is in my head, and especially because I didn't have the physical appearance of being overweight, but the weight was between my ears. And today, God is between my ears and you all, and I am so grateful for this program. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Courtney J. from North Carolina. Before we get to our next person, I want to remind everybody where we're at. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We are on page 35, the first full paragraph, beginning with what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic, ending with of what is he thinking? And we read that paragraph, and that's what we're sharing on. I also wanted to remind everyone that our meeting does focus on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So we do want to share our experience with the directions in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, we're going to go ahead and have Kim P. share next. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your steadfast service in moderating this meeting and everyone else giving service. And I feel like the previous speaker said everything that I was thinking, so I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Kim P. from Nevada. And we can now take some more names. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Robin P.
W.W.
I heard
Diane B.
Robin, where are you calling from?
From Franklin, Tennessee.
Diane B. One sec, folks. I got you, Diane, but let me, Robin, where are you calling from?
Franklin, Tennessee.
Okay, sorry about that. Every time you said it, someone does something. And Diane B., where are you calling from?
New York.
Got you, Diane. All right. And who else would like to share?
W.
Was that Debbie W.?
Yes, Oregon.
From Oregon. Got you, Debbie.
Avi V., Vancouver.
Cindy O.
I've got you, Avi. From Vancouver.
Okay. Clark P., California.
That was Clark P. as in Paul from California?
True. Yes.
Okay.
Lynn B. in California.
Lynn B. as in boy from California?
D as in David, thank you, from California.
Okay, sorry about that, D. Okay, I think that'll take us to the end. I've got Robin P., Diane B., Debbie W., I've got Avi, Clark P., and Lynn D. We're going to start with Robin P., followed by Diane B. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling from Franklin, Tennessee. I'm so grateful for everyone who makes this meeting possible. You know, just what sort of thinking? Just the desperate experiment of the first bite. Oh, my gosh. You know, over and over for decades, I've been abstinent by God's grace one day at a time for 10 years, just by God's mercy and working these steps and this fellowship, reaching up and reaching out. And I'm just eternally grateful because I had decades of that experiment and decades of what was he thinking and, you know, worshiping food, which was my God. And it never, ever worked out. This time would be different. Oh, playing Russian roulette with my own life. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I have the solution today. And I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I love this meeting. And, just to be restored to sanity, you know, it's just literally a miracle that before in that disease state that they mentioned in this paragraph, I didn't have a no. If it was all of a sudden I had the thought, that mental obsession, I just would act on it. And now I have a defense team, you know, my God squad, the steps, living in 10, 11, and 12, helping others, you know, I have a no, which in itself is a miracle. And the other miracle is I don't crave the food. I feel like my food is my medicine instead of my poison. And all of that is a miracle from God in this program. And I personally am, you know, I do my best not to eat poison. I eat organically as much as possible. I don't eat gluten, and I'm a whole food plant based. And I just my food is literally my medicine today, and it's literally the opposite of what it was when I was in the disease. And I'm so grateful for the mental clarity, for the peace, for all of the miracles that happen every day because of this program, and that I get to be of service to God and my fellows. And that was literally the opposite of hiding alone in an apartment in New York City with the food. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thanks again for your service, Stephanie, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Robin P. from Tennessee. It's like a song. Next, we've got Diane B., followed by Debbie W. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Stephanie. This is Diane B., grateful to be recovered here in Tarrytown, New York. Thank you for your service and for everybody else who keeps this meeting going, and welcome to all of our newcomers. So I love this. What sort of thinking, right? And at the end, of what is he thinking? You know, when I was a kid and I would get into trouble or I would do something stupid or whatever, something kid-like, my parents say, what were you thinking? And I never had an answer for it. And then when my kids were little, I would all say, what were you thinking? And then I would say, well, I guess you weren't thinking. And that's what happened with me. I wasn't thinking, especially when it came around the food. It was like, I just went into automatic. And I had no explanation for that. And I would go on diets and I would lose weight. And then I'd just start eating again, thinking that, oh, I can eat like a normal eater, which I don't even know what a normal eater eats like because I've never been one. But what my thoughts were about normal eating. And then I would just gain the weight again. Well, what was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. But now that I have higher power in my life and I have this program and fellows to help me and guide me and support me, I can be thinking about what I'm going to eat. I can be thinking about my actions. I can be thinking about my relationships. You know, we get those tea bags with these little ditties on them. And I got one recently that says, you are what you repeat. Well, I was repeating the same bad behavior, or not bad, but sick behavior over and over and over until I came into these rooms. And then I started getting more awareness. So I was thinking, and I'm very, very grateful for that. But that ditty has stuck with me. You are what you repeat. So when I was repeating the disease, I was in the disease. Today, I'm repeating the program. Today, I'm doing certain acts, taking certain actions, doing certain things to keep my program strong and growing. And I try to do more and more. Periodically, I try to increase so that I can increase my actions so that I can increase my spiritual connection. So I think, this is really interesting because I wasn't thinking for so many years. And I'm actually looking forward to the next part of this chapter because I am Jim. So thank you very much for a pass right now. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Diane B. from New York. Next, we've got Debbie W., followed by Avi. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie W., compulsive overeater in Oregon, formerly in California. And I had to share because, it was before I came into the program, I saw a bumper sticker that said, don't believe everything you think. And I thought, what the heck? Doesn't that bumper sticker know that all my thoughts are right and good and I just know everything? But that bumper sticker stuck in my brain. And when I got into program, I'm like, oh my gosh, my thinking is really distorted. I don't know what's best for this person and that person that I'm trying to tell them how to live their life. I can't even run my own life. I say I'm going to stop eating the food and I turn around and eat it. So I guess my point is, coming into OA has done so many miraculous things for me. It has improved my relationship with my higher power, which I thought was good before when I was in the food. But guess what? Now that I'm out of the food, it's tremendous. And I have a lot of new friends because I have OA buddies that I can call and talk to, things that, you know, probably normal eaters wouldn't understand. God has just made so many things possible for me, and I plan to stay in this program one day at a time and live my best life thanks to God and OA. And with that, I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie W. from Oregon. Next, we've got Avi followed by Clark P. Good morning, Avi. And Avi, if you could hit star one to unmute, please.
Hi, this is Avi V, Vancouver, British Columbia. Apologies, the keypad was a bit funny. Stephanie, thank you so much for moderating and for everyone who has shared. What struck me most about this paragraph is the thinking and me thinking that every time before I came into program, it would be different, that every time the desperate experiment, and I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe just this time it'll be different. And I had, I'm not going to say a relationship with God, but God was my ride or die, my sidekick. And I'd be like, okay, God, please, just this time, let it be different. And it never, ever was, in the insanity of my thinking, you know, and I'm a smart person beating my head against the wall and people begging me, you know, after watching the way I would eat, and I just couldn't stop. And coming into OA, and that's the funny thing, I'm 25 years clean and sober, and I've never read the big book like I read it now. And I am so thankful for this meeting, for everything that I'm learning and staying teachable, right? The answers, all the answers are in that big book. I don't live my life and I live my program. This program is my life. I've got nowhere else to go. There's no other solution. There's no drugs. There's no like hypnotism. There's no money. There's no nothing. There's no way I could have let go of 125 pounds without even trying, all because of my alignment, my belief, my relationship, my love for God. For me, it's all God. And that's what our big book says. God is either everything or God is nothing. What is your choice to be? This isn't me. This isn't me at all. This is all God. So thank you for letting me be here. Thank you for this beautiful day and looking forward to the rest of the shares. I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Avi V from Vancouver, Canada. Next, we've got Clark P, followed by Lynn D. Good morning, Clark.
Good morning, and thank you, Stephanie, for your hosting the meeting. This is my first time sharing on a vision meeting. I've been in OA for a while, but knew I needed something different and stronger, and I know I love the big book, and especially this chapter, the stories about the strange mental twists that lead to the first drink or first bite, of course, in our case. And I heard earlier about, you know, sharing from one's heart as opposed to from the mind. And that's a struggle for me. I hope to get better with that and share from my heart. Anyway, getting that back to this paragraph, yeah, what sort of thinking dominates an alcoholic? For me, yeah, these examples that it gives here, you know, this time it'll be different, like with Jim and the whiskey and the milk, or with Fred, no thought ahead of time, or the man of 30 that from earlier, that a long period of abstinence would make him a normal drinker. In our case, of course, normal eater. And then what else can I say about this? The main problem centers in our minds, as this paragraph points to, and it says that on page 23. And yet it's so cunning, baffling, and powerful. I can get diluted easily, and I need, that's why it's good for me to go to meetings every day, and I'm grateful for this meeting, which was a little later in the day. It was kind of early here in California, but anyway, great to be on the meeting. Thank you all for your service. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Clark P. from California. Next, we've got Lynn D. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning. Thank you.
for everyone that is able to be on the line and be of service this morning to our fellow OAers. I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California, and it's so funny because I was doing some two-way prayer about thinking, not this week, but last week, and I remember my thinking going like this. I would think about something, and then I would obsess over it, and it would lead into zero action, but the time and the waste of, like, the day or the feelings or a feeling of, you know, uselessness would still be there. Basically, it would result into no action. And so now I know that when I start thinking about something to the obsession point, it's not useful to me. So I try to stop it, right? And how do I stop it? Well, you know, somebody mentioned before, esteemable acts, right? I try to get out of myself. I do a 10-step. I turn it over. I pray. I pause. I call a fellow. Like, whatever I got to do to get out of it, right? Change my surroundings. Go outside. Take a walk. But for me, the two kind of, every year I kind of choose words that, like, help me guide through my year, usually something in my step study. And my two words this year are personal and simple. I just really like that. It was in step one, and I found them, and I was like, yes, those are my two words. I knew it as soon as I read it. And so for me, if my thinking results into action that, like, is personal and simple, you know, then I know it's coming from, like, my higher power or, like, you know, higher power driven, right? But if my thinking is, you know, about other people or really convoluted or can't really explain it, right, like non-simple, unpersonal, like, I know that's my, I know itself, and I know that whatever action is a result of that thinking isn't going to go very well. So it's easy to see when you can kind of look at it from that point. My two words last year were reasonable and realistic. I called it my R&R. And so I just kind of like to, you know, have God kind of guide me with whatever is happening in my life. And it's easy to, like, the other thing too is it stands out to me very, that it's coming from a higher power when it's relatable to those words or whatever feeling, or maybe it's a situation in my life, you know, that it's, oh yeah, this is God driven, you know, like I can feel it. I can sense it. And it makes sense to me. So yeah. And then I'm sure somebody mentioned it, but I can't quite remember, but, like, you know, the stinking thinking, right? Like, I know that's a big, slogan in AA, but, it is, like, thinking just, so many, many hours and days wasted on that. So anyways, I choose to stay in action today. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Lindy from California. And we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Debbie W., can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, Debbie W., compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.